Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
I saw a lot of people there. I mean, they remind me thank you for saving Clayton Kershaw no-hitter. I said, no, I just catch a ground ball and threw it across the diamond. He did it. You know, he strike out 14 guys that day. I mean, you guys shouldn't be saying that I saved it, because I didn't.
Welcome to an emergency episode of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media. It's an emergency because my friend reached out to me yesterday and he was like, why haven't you reached out? Why haven't you called? Have you forgotten about me? Miguel Rojas of the Los Angeles Dodgers, I could never forget about you. I just wanted to give you time to adjust to your new old team. That's all.
I think there's a lot of things that we have to talk about right now. I'm really excited to be a Dodger again. It's been really good. Coming back to Camelback Ranch and spring training Arizona is always enjoyable. And I just want to reach out to you because we got a couple items that we should talk to. So the people and the fans and everybody out there can listen from me and you, and so we can give a really good episode to the people, especially the Dodgers fans, man. I want to say thank you for welcoming me back. The way that they've been, it's been amazing. You know, every day at workouts is like around 300, 400 people on the backfields. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. You don't even know how many of those fans have been telling me that how much they enjoy Chris Rose Rotation and when I'm part of it. So I'm happy to be back, and let's go and get some business.
Okay, before we get to that, can I just say this? I am so proud of my beard. This is the best it's looked. And we're finishing this as I just finished the NFL scouting combine in Indianapolis. My makeup girl, Jenny, put a little something in it. I feel like a different man, my man. Like you always have good facial hair. I've had kind of shitty facial hair recently.
No, I don't.
I feel pristine here.
Have you like wearing something, or are you putting something on so you grow some more hair? You gotta
but darkened it, because usually you know, people have seen it recently and it's been very like more Santa Claus than this shade. But I just
I love it. I love it. I think this is the best look that you had, because you just are recording something really, really big, you know, on football. Yeah. And the comebacks are all over TV. I was watching you a couple hours ago. I was playing poker, and I was watching you on TV. So now, I mean, we got the privilege of having you right after the combine. So what a privilege. Huh?
Come on, you're my guy. How'd you do in poker, by the way?
It's been good. You know, I do it every time that I have a little bit of chance, and I like to play all over the country. You know, every time we play a city where there's a casino and a poker room around it, I just go undercover like this to the poker room, and I'm trying nobody to recognize me. And I play a little bit of poker against people that I don't know. So I think it's pretty fun. And I've been doing good. I've been trying to step up my game, because I heard that the Dodgers have a pretty good game going on the flight. So,
well, let me tell you something. You are stepping it up, not only talent-wise, with all due respect to your old team, the Miami Marlins. What are you drinking, by the way? What are you drinking?
My drink of preference is tequila on the rocks. So, clase azul tequila for you guys. Cheers.
Nice. I'm still hydrating after my work, so I'm just on water. But it's early still.
That's a good idea.
With all due respect to your old team, the Miami Marlins, and we are not here to bash them, you're stepping it up talent-wise. We know that. You're coming off a 111-win season with the Dodgers. You're also stepping it up payroll wise. There is a lot of money to be won on those flights, Miggy.
100%. And I can't wait. I can't wait to jump on those flights, because I hear the rumors about the table and how the people play and all that. And I can't wait to jump on the flight. I'm not a big spender, to be honest with you. I'm not there to lose money or to win big money. I just like to play poker. You know, like I don't like people who just trying to bully others with money just because they want to get them out of the hand and all that. I play a little bit more of poker and trying to keep myself, like, you know, like not bullying people. But yeah, I talked to Austin Barnes and Phil Bickford and Will Smith and all those guys about the game. And it sounds like it's pretty fun.
See, but here's what you got to do. Even if, we know that you've made a nice, healthy living in recent years, but we don't live in the Mookie Betts, Clayton Kershaw stratosphere.
100%.
What you need to do is get one of those guys to be your backer and realize that you are the best poker player on the team, and then back you so that when you need to bully around, that you have that ability. That's all.
I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying there. Yeah. I mean, that's a good idea. That's kind of, it's going to be like my sponsor, you know. In poker, you know, you get sponsors that give you money when they know your potential and that you can get the money back. So, yeah, you onto something, Chris. That's right. Okay. I'm going to talk to them.
All right, let's get on to some business now. When last we spoke, you were very excited because you thought like you had an opportunity to make Team Venezuela for the World Baseball Classic. That has always been a dream of yours. You did make the team initially. However, once Gavin Lux went down with the unfortunate season-ending ACL, you decided to pull out. How difficult was that decision?
Yeah, really difficult. And that's why, and I want everybody to know that I reach out to you because, I mean, John Boy and these episodes of the Chris Rose Rotation have been my outlet to talk to people and talk from my heart. And, like, I mean, more genuine than this is really hard to find, you know. When I talk to you through camera or in person, you know, always saying the things that I have on my heart and my feelings. It's a really tough time for me right now, you know, representing Venezuela and having the opportunity to be part of that team and part of those guys who are going there. And we had a meeting together. Team Venezuela had a meeting together like around a month ago. Not everybody was there, but everybody on the team knows that that we was doing this not just for Venezuela and for us to be together in that clubhouse. We're doing this for Miguel Cabrera as well. Miggy, it's been the best. I think it's the best athlete out of Venezuela, and he's retiring this year. And for Miggy and for Venezuela to win this tournament will mean something really special for him. I think he have won everything in baseball other than the WBC. And at least, you know, get him on the podium and get him a medal of any kind. You know, third place, second place, first place will be really special for him and his retired year. And I was really excited about that because I consider Miggy one of my good friends in baseball, not just because we play against each other and we play together in a lot of opportunities, but because of what he mean to my career and the way that he approached me in the off seasons, and he let me work out with him, let me hit with him, let me learn from him, which he was my idol, and now he became my friend. So it's something other than just representing Venezuela that it was meaning for me. And I really wanted to do that. When I got the call that I made the team, I was really excited, you know, and I shared that with my family, with my friends, with the people that's been supporting me for my whole career. And I mean, I knew my position and my role in this team, you know. As soon as I get the call, the manager told me that I was going to be a role player, you know. I wasn't going to play shortstop every day. And my role will be a little bit more of a late defensive replacement, maybe a pinch hit in a situation where a lefty come in the game. They're going to play a short Andrés Giménez from the Cleveland Guardians. So because we know he won a Gold Glove last year at second base, but we got Altuve, we got Gleyber Torres, we got other guys who play second base only. So the strategy was playing Andrés as short, and I wasn't going to play every day. So here's the thing. When the injury of Luxy happened a couple of days ago, the team have to talk to me about my new role with the Dodgers, you know? And now I'm going to be the everyday shortstop for this organization, which is something that they really need, a guy who preserves the, I mean, who can really take care of shortstop, you know, for the whole season. So I know Chris Taylor is going to be like bouncing back from the outfield to the infield and helping the mix to be a shortstop as well. But it's going to be my responsibility to cover the shortstop position with the Dodgers. So the decision wasn't my decision to just avoid and just let the team out just because I wanted to play for the Dodgers and I want to play a full season. It's a decision based on getting ready for my year, knowing that if I was going to play for Team Venezuela, I was going to be kind of in a backcourt role and a utility role. And the team talked to me about the concern about me not getting plenty of at-bats to get ready for the season. Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel the necessity of explaining myself. And I'm pretty sure people who really cares about me and really care about my career, they will find a way to understand what I'm saying through our outlets and how difficult for me it is to say no to Team Venezuela for the best of my, not just my career, the best of the team, the best of what's going to happen for 162 games, and knowing that I need to be prepared and I need to be ready because spring training is too short and I probably wasn't going to have a lot of opportunities to play with Team Venezuela. And that's how we came to a conclusion. And it wasn't just mine. You know, Andrew Freeman, Dave Roberts, and Brandon Gomes sit down with me right after Loxie injury happened, and we all talked together, and it was a decision making on what made the most sense for the Dodgers, for Miguel Rojas, and for the future of our year. So I think that summed up how my decision was made. But to go back to how difficult this is one of the most difficult decisions that I have to make on regards of my career.
I understand it. I can hear it in your voice. I know how much representing your homeland, which you talked abundantly about on this show, means to you. And it hurts your heart that you can't beat there. But this is the reality of it. And we understand it. Do some people on social media, have they reached out to you and said, "Ah, Miggy, you're screwing us. You're leaving Team Venezuela." Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, 100%. And that's why, I mean, I'm not gonna go on social media and comment on anybody's other comments and all that, because that's not what I think I should do. But I want people to know that I'm getting that, and I feel the necessity of explaining that this is not a decision that it comes easy, and hearing all that kind of make me feel like, I mean, It's kind of frustrating, you know, because one of the things that I want to do the most is go representing Venezuela, regardless of my position, regardless of what the role is going to be. You know, the problem wasn't the role. The problem is that my responsibilities the last couple of weeks have changed, you know, for what's going to happen in the future. And like, listen to people that I know they don't know what's going on. But I feel like they need to know where I'm coming from, and this is an opportunity. And thank you guys again for letting me do this before the classic starts. But there's a possibility, you know, like, you never know if one of the guys who plays every day goes down and something happened, an injury happened. We just saw that Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is not going to be able to go anymore because of an injury. If something like that happened and I'm going to get more at-bats and I'm going to get opportunities to play, I'm going to go. You know, I'm here for the team. The only thing is, like, I mean, I'm in a really weird situation because the Dodgers need me to get at-bats to get ready. I'm coming from a off-season that it wasn't regular. I got two surgeries on my wrist and I need to get my at-bats. I need to get my reps to be able to play a healthy 162-game season. And, I mean, I need to be responsible for my actions, and I think that's the reason why I'm doing this.
Well, okay. I think you made it abundantly clear, and I would say almost everybody would understand it. And for those people who don't understand it, move on, I would say.
Yeah.
So in a brief instance, your role has changed with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And there are some fans who are going to sit here and say, I remember Miguel Rojas. He was a nice little player for us. He's been in Miami. But being the starting shortstop in Miami is very different than being the one in Los Angeles, particularly when in recent years they've had Corey Seager and then they've had Trey Turner, two of the best offensive shortstops in the league. They'll look at your numbers, what happened last year, and they'll say, well, wait a second, we've got to go find ourselves a shortstop. Why do you feel like they don't need to find a shortstop?
Oh, because I feel like I'm the piece. I'm gonna be another piece of this puzzle that is gonna help us win games. You know, you're not gonna get the same look of another shortstop that you ever have in the past. You know, you're gonna have a guy who's gonna play his heart out every single day, and he's not the same player that he was in 2014 either. You know, I feel like I can contribute as much offensively that I do defensively. My role is going to be different, you know? I'm not going to be in the middle of the lineup. I'm not going to be Freddie Freeman. I'm not going to be Mookie Betts. I'm not going to be Max Muncy, you know? We're going to have a team full of players that we all know what our role is going to be, you know? And that's why they should quit thinking about, okay, is Miguel Rojas going to fill someone else's shoes? I'm not, you know? I'm going to be Miguel Rojas. I'm going to be the same Miguel Rojas that has been playing the game of baseball for the last 10 years. And I feel like with being myself, I can help this team win a World Series because I really believe it. You know, when you play hard, when you play good defense, when you play with a lot of passion and you're smart and you kind of contribute with what we have, I think it's going to be a really special combination between Miguel Vargas, Max Muncy, Freddie Freeman, and me in the infield. And when Chris Taylor plays in the infield, that's same thing. If Mookie ends up playing second base, it's going to be a good mix of players having the opportunity to play together. And it's not going to be like a dream team. It's going to be just the best team that we can have. So that's how I feel it. You know, we got a lot of good additions. And I know I wasn't here last year in 2020 when they won the World Series, but I can see this clubhouse being a united group trying to go for what we want to do. We all want to do the same thing. And I think we all really difference on different sides of life. And that's going to make us special because not everybody is kind of not everybody's like a star. Everybody knows their role. And we're going to let it happen and let it happen the way that it should be.
No, you guys do have your share of stars. Maybe not everybody is, but you do have your share. However, team down the California coast, San Diego keeps just paying goo gobs of money. People. Do you guys talk about that at all in the clubhouse? Like, man, another 350 for Machado after giving Bogarts 280 and Tatis. And they're talking about maybe extending Soto and Hader and all this stuff. Do you guys talk about that?
Oh, they already have the players. I mean, it's really cool that they're spending money, you know? As a player, that's what you want, you know? You want players to get paid for what they do. They already have the players. They're not – well, they acquire a couple guys, you know? They got Bogarts. But, I mean, I wasn't here in the National League West to see those battles, but I'm looking forward for this new challenge of battling with them for the National League West title. You know, I can't really wait to experience those battles. But I mean, yeah, in the clubhouse, we kind of see that they're spending money, and which is great for baseball. You know, players should be getting paid. They already have the players, regardless of if they get $350 million or they get $5 million or $1 million or the minimum salary, we're all going to have to play the game and perform to win baseball games, you know? I'm happy for them that they're getting players for what their value is. But at the end of the day, we got a team here, too, that is going to be ready to compete.
But you know, those guys are feeling pretty good in San Diego because they took out the Dodgers in the divisional round. Mm-hmm. They feel like they've added a couple more pieces here, and they have more swag than anybody. They're getting Tatis back this season. My guess is if you ask the Padres clubhouse, they feel like they're the team to beat.
They're going to have to prove it. You know, they're going to have to come and take it from the Dodgers. The Dodgers are the reigning National League West champions, you know, and they have done it for a long time. That doesn't mean that we're going to just roll out and do it again. We're going to have to perform to get it. But until that happens, I feel like that's something that is going to have to be proven on the field. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy for us to win it, but that's what we're doing. And I'm really aware. I'm pretty aware of what happened last year. And I heard rumors about how the guys who are still in this clubhouse right now leave what happened last year on that series, you know, on the 5-game series. They're not forgetting about that. I'm telling you that. Like I can hear the rumors. I can hear players who were in that clubhouse in San Diego last year. And I know they haven't forget it. They haven't forget about it. So they have some big business that they wanna finish. And I'm pretty happy and pretty sure that we're gonna do it all together. You know.
I hear you. Did we see you wearing Mookie Betts' cleats the other day?
Yeah, I told you guys. I told you that I'm not gonna be afraid to talk to Mookie and asking for some good stuff. No, but I didn't have to ask, man. Mookie's a great guy. I kind of knew it from the other playing for the against him from the other side, and he's always like approachable, really nice guy around the bases. We always talk about the game a little bit. He always said that I have one of the best, you know, shoe games in the game or whatever. But I mean, I respect, like, you know, like these Jordan guys are getting like so much heat. And I mean, I would be lying if I say that I wouldn't like to be one of those guys. But Mookie, the other day I was playing in one of my new cleats that I convert. So this is what happened. I convert basketball shoes into baseball cleats. You know,
right. Yeah,
I put the bottom of the baseball cleat in a basketball shoe. And sometimes some of them are really uncomfortable because, I mean, they're not baseball shoes, you know, and they get heavy. And when they get like the dirt underneath, like they get really heavy. And sometimes it hurt my heel. And that's what happened. You know, one of the shoes that I was wearing a couple weeks ago starting to hurt my heel. And I said, I talked to Mookie about it and I asked him if the same thing happens to him when he wore like regular Jordans. And he said, yeah, but I want you to try one of my shoes. They're plastics. And I think you're going to like it. And sure enough, he gave me a pair and I can't really stop wearing. I went 2 for 3 yesterday. I hit a double. I make a great play. So I think I'm wearing that shoe for the rest of the year.
You're in. You're in.
I think I'm in.
He should, yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe he can sign you to a personal contract. Maybe if it's not Jordan, you can just start wearing Mookie's and he can pay you a little bit.
I'm calling Mookie my agent now. He's my agent. I fired Beverly Hills. So now Mookie's my agent.
He's got enough to start an agency. I can tell you that.
That's right.
Holy
That's
smokes.
Right.
We also saw you the other day try a little delayed steal. Didn't quite mm-hmm. work out, but hey, this is the time to try it. Why not? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you kind of laugh at yourself after it didn't quite?
No. One of our hitting coaches, Aaron Bates, this morning was talking to me about – that's funny, man. He asked me, did you do that because you wanted the at-bat and the pace of play to keep going, you know? Because the at-bat from Bushy, it was taking too long, you know? So he got two strikes, and I said, well, the my thought process behind it, I can't really explain it here so much because I don't know if guys who I play against, they're going to listen to, and I don't want them. So, I mean, I took off the third base, and I thought I could have made it because that's a play that I used to do with the Chief. So I wanted to see if it works out without the Chief now, you know? But I mean, it was. I mean, I think it wasn't the right time to do it. And obviously, in spring training, we're trying different things to see if it works or not. So I think it was the right time to do it. And it was pretty funny that he said, "Yeah, I mean, you was doing it to keep the game going, because I mean, we have to play games under 2 hours and 50 minutes."
How do we like the clock?
I hate it, man.
Do you?
Yeah. I hate the clock, to be honest with you. I don't think it's necessary to have a clock to make the pitcher throw the pitch under 15 or 20 seconds. I think it could have been a little bit better if we have the clock, but the clock stops as soon as the pitcher starts the motion, you know? I feel like we are in a lot of rush. We're going to have to make the adjustment because the clock is here, right? That's not a question. But I feel like, I mean, it takes away from what we've been doing for a long time, you know? We always, like, concern about the clock and what the number is, and instead of focusing on the pitcher and trying to see where you are and thinking about the ways of attacking this guy. So I found myself the other day looking at the clock when the pitcher was coming to me, was throwing the ball to me, because the clock is right there. And I'm seeing 8, 7, 6, 5. And that creates a little bit of anxiety, because the guy needs to throw the ball. And I need to gather, and you see pitchers already using it in their advantage, you know? They hold the ball until it's 3, 2, and before 1, they pick the leg up and pitch. And then it's really hard because you need to get in the box with 8 seconds left, right? So when you start getting, you know how hard it is to be 8 seconds just waiting for the guy to deliver the ball. You get tired, you know? You get tired from getting in sync with the pitcher. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of adjustments that it needs to be made, because pitchers going to start. I mean, we saw Scherzer the other day, started to mess up with the timing, and that's going to be an advantage. You know, for some pitchers are going to be an advantage, for some hitters will be an advantage. I don't know, but I personally hate it. So I feel like we could have done a little bit of better job identifying those things and then put it in play maybe next year, you know?
Okay. That's interesting. I didn't know that, what you said, that you, it is in your vision that you can see the clock counting down. I did not know that. I only see it obviously behind the plate, because that's what we're privy to on the broadcast.
And here's what the pitchers are doing. The pitchers are, if they see you getting the box so early, let's say it's a runner on first base, right? The other day I have this situation, runner on first base, and they got 20 seconds. I'm trying not to be late, right? And I get in with 18 seconds left. The pitcher, he saw that I was in the box too early, and he say, "Okay, I'm gonna take my time." For me to call timeout, because 18 seconds right here, waiting for the guy to throw the ball. I don't know if he's gonna throw it right now. I don't know if he's gonna wait until 1 second left to throw it. So what you do as a hitter? You're gonna get tension, and you're gonna get inside it, and you're gonna call timeout. And that's the only timeout that you can call. Next pitch, quick pitch. Well, they can't quick pitch you, but they're gonna get in the rubber, they're gonna get set, and they're gonna throw the ball as soon as they can, trying to catch you off guard. So that's the mind games that the pitchers are gonna play if you let them do it. So it's a big adjustment for hitters, and so far, I mean, it's been different.
Didn't think of all that. Good. That's why you're here, man.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. How do you like it? I like it. Okay. I like it. It felt a little fast initially, probably because we've never had a pitch clock at the major league level. I felt like it needs to be adjusted. I do think that in late game situations, in close games, it has to be adjusted. Because in other sports, they make late game adjustments with mm-hmm. rules. So I do, I think that we're in a good, I think the idea is good, although I certainly sympathize with you because I don't, hell, the hardest thing to do in sports is hit a baseball. I can't imagine having to concentrate there for 18 seconds and try and guess not only what the hell they're throwing, but when they're throwing it. Like, that is hard. I understand it. I don't know what they can do to improve that. Like, what can they do, Miggy, to improve it?
I think they should relax a little bit the timeouts because, I mean, me knowing that I have just one timeout is a benefit for the pitcher. He just wants you to try to burn it. So later in that bat, he can do whatever with the timing.
Right.
And I mean, they can call pitches from the thing that they put on their glove or on their belt, the pitch comp.
Yep.
They can do it from there. They don't have to wait until the catcher gives all the signs, like old school signs. You know, they have the pitch comp now. What do we have to protect ourselves? You know, as a hitter, we don't have much. All we have is our bat, and you need to get ready before 8 seconds. And then if you wait too early, I mean, it's really hard, you know, because, I mean, being there for 12 seconds, just waiting, not being able to put the hand up and say timeout, you know?
All right.
That's my thing.
How about this? Would this work? Since you have to be looking at the pitcher at the 8 second mark, how about if we say that they can't throw it before 8 seconds? Is that helpful to you or not?
I mean, that's something that it can be that it can be an adjustment. But what I feel like, the clock is fine. You know, we can have a clock if we want to. 15 seconds should end as soon as the guy comes set. That's it. So you don't worry about the clock there. You know, he can hold the 5 seconds. What's going to be the difference? He can hold
right.
in the past, you know?
Okay.
Like, he can get his signs. If he don't get to get the signs before 8 seconds and he don't come set, ball, whatever you want to call it, you know?
Got it.
But it shouldn't be like, okay, I'm waiting until 5, 4, 3, 2, and the umpire is not going to be focusing on what he needs to be focused on, you know? He needs to call a game, and he's watching something on the scoreboard,
well,
winding down.
Although I do believe, I don't think the umpires are watching the scoreboard, although I would like to hear it out of their mouths. I think they get buzzed. So I think they feel a buzzer if there's a violation. I believe that's correct.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that. So, I don't know how it is right now in spring training.
You know what you should do? Seriously, go talk to, when you're in the field, go talk to one of the umpires that's been behind home plate and say, hey, here's my concern. Is this a legitimate concern? Like, I'm worried that you're looking at the clock. Are you looking at the clock? Like, because I don't think baseball wants to get this wrong. I think they want to get it right.
100%. And me too. They want to get it right. They want to do it for the fans. And they want the best product from the players, right? They want more action and all that. We understand all that, you know? But as players, we've been playing a game for so long that it's been based on, you know, like, okay, I'm ready. Let's play, you know? Pitcher is ready. Okay, let's play, you know? That's the thing. Now you're putting a little bit more of pressure in the umpires. Check this out. This is another situation. You're in the box, right? The clock is winding down. 10, 9, 8. Let's say at 9, you're still like looking down, doing your thing with the bat, getting ready. And the pitcher is ready and trying to catch you off guard. And you're still looking down, but it's 9 seconds. So the umpire needs to protect you against quick pitching. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that the umpire needs to see. He can get a buzzer from that, you know? He needs to see if you're looking up. They need to pay attention to the clock, and they need to pay attention if the pitcher is quick pitching. How can you do that worrying about calling strikes or balls? It's way too much on their plate. I feel bad for the umpires because they have to watch the clock, the pitcher, the hitter, and see if everything synced up before 8 seconds.
A lot of shit going on, man.
lot of shit going on, man. These games are, I mean, I'm enjoying the game because, I mean, I'm playing with my boys and all that. But let's say when it starts to get serious, how it's going to be, man.
Okay. Well, you gave our listeners and our viewers something else to think about when it comes to all this. And for that, I'm appreciative. I get it. Will you be watching the World Baseball Classic?
Yeah, 100%, man. I'll be not just watching, but supporting my boys. I wish Venezuela was playing closer than me, so I can go to the field. But one game that I want to watch in person is U.S. against Canada. Freddie Freeman was wearing his Canada suit. He got like a sweatsuit.
Yep.
all red today. He wore it with his little Canada hat. So Freddie looks really good on his red colors. And he was talking crap too. Oh, that was it. That was it. That's Freddie right there today. He cracks me up, man. He wore that.
You said he was talking shit?
Yeah, he was talking shit to Urias. And we got another pitcher, left-handed Gonzalez. He's not going to pitch for Team Mexico, but, you know, he's going to have to face Mexico, U.S., and Great Britain, which Trace Thompson is playing for them. So there's a lot going on in the clubhouse right now. So I want to watch a game. I want to watch U.S. against Canada because, in U.S. we got Will, Mookie, and we got Freddie on the other side. So looking forward to go watch a game.
I can't wait. I think it's going to be so much fun, man. I love the World Baseball Classic. I'm a huge fan. By the way, one thing before we go. So, you know, Jake got married a couple weeks ago. You saw that?
Oh,
right?
Nice. I saw some videos of him dancing, but yeah. I didn't know that he was getting married.
Yeah, so we all went to
Congrats,
his wedding.
Bro.
It was Yeah, well, not for me. I've already been
No,
married.
I know. Congratulations, Jake.
Yeah. We all went to the wedding. It was down in St. Lucia, which, first of all, I had never been to that part of the world because when you live in L.A., you don't vacation down there. You go to Cabo
exactly.
or you go to Hawaii.
Where is that at?
St. Lucia?
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought for sure you would know because it's not that far. It's like 600 miles from Venezuela. That's
no
it.
No way.
Yes.
I didn't even know about that place. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like all the way down the island chain. It's
Aruba, Curaçao, and those places, maybe?
Yeah, have you heard of Martinique?
Yeah, Martinique, yeah.
Okay, it's close to Martinique. That's how far down it is. Yeah, so it wasn't easy to get to, I can tell you that.
I bet.
But yeah, it was a beautiful part. The wedding was sensational. It was all very nice. But I was like, man... There, this is Jake. Here's Jake's.
Yeah, there's Jake
drunk dancing on the boat. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Quite a body he's got, huh?
What a body, man. Can't wait to see Jake in person, man. I haven't met Jake in person yet. I told him he needs to let me know if he's coming to Arizona. So,
So
I can talk to him for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had you roll through, the John Boys studios at one time, but we'll get you back out there when,
definitely,
you know, maybe when you guys play a weekday series or something. But yeah, I was thinking to myself, man, I could just make a trip to Miggy's homeland. We're this close.
I know. I mean, you was really close. So next time we can figure something out to see if you can actually go to Venezuela.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure there's going to be a next time for the Roses. That was a lengthy trip.
I know.
It took us 19 hours to get home from the time we left the resort until we walked into the house. I was like, geez, where the hell did we go? Europe? God damn, that was a long trip.
Wow, that's a long day, for sure.
Yeah, it was long. All right, I like the specs. Is this a new thing?
I love it, yeah. This is something that I do after. If I play early in the morning, I take my contacts off and... And I wear my regular glasses, so I've been trying to step up my game too.
Did you call Jazz and tell him congratulations on being the cover boy of the show?
No, I haven't. I haven't talked to him in a while. I feel like I've been so busy, you know, with things, you know, like moving to the West Coast now, and I mean, I went to get surgery and then the fan fest and all that. But I'm happy for him for sure, and. I know a lot of guys have good feedback, and the kids loving it, man.
Oh yeah, I know they do. By the way, did I see you working like a drive-through or something during the Fan Fest thing?
I did. Yeah, it was on Taco. What is the name of this place? It's a taco thing that is in the West Coast. Uh-huh. Taco del Sol, I think.
Yeah. Taco del Sol.
Yeah. So this taco place have this event, you know, with Dodger fans, and they came out, and I was there serving the drive through and serving people there, taking pictures, signing autographs. It was a really cool experience. First Fan Fest. It was pretty cool, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they pack it for that stuff.
They did. It was fun, man. It was fun. I saw a lot of people there. I mean, they remind me the thank you for saving Clayton Kershaw no hitter. I say no. I just catch a ground ball and threw it across the diamond. He did it. You know, he strike out 14 guys that day. I mean, you guys shouldn't be saying that I saved it, because I didn't.
Well, listen, man. Look forward to catching up once you get out to LA. Did you find a place and stuff? You feel good?
Yeah. I'm gonna stay downtown because it's closer.
No, don't tell me where you're staying.
Let's not do that.
This is
so genuine that it feels like I'm talking to you on the phone. So.
I know. All right, good. Well, I'm happy that you found a place. That's all that matters.
Thank you.
And the family's good.
They're doing really good. They're back in Miami. Looking forward to see him in a couple of weeks, hopefully here in Arizona before we break camp. But yeah, everything is going really well, man. I'm happy that I'm back here, enjoying my time, and this club is really good.
Awesome. Look forward to the start of the year. We'll catch up with you. We'll have to start doing some in-person shows out of Dodger Stadium. I mean, it's that simple. And you know, maybe we pull in a guest here and there. Maybe, you know,
for sure. Yeah, that's what we're gonna do this year. We're gonna pull up a lot of the guys. We got a lot of good personality here. So as soon as I get to LA, we get together and we get some of the guys on the team. So
yeah.
for the fans, I want you guys to drop a comment on this YouTube video and tell me which one of my teammates you guys wanna listen from, and I'll get them on the show for sure.
I mean, that's it. We just needed a big roller and a big clubhouse like that. That's what we need.
We need the fans to get involved and let me know which one is your favorite, which one you want to listen from.
Okay. That's simple. We're throwing it out there. There you go. Everybody leave a comment. Very simple. Miguel, it's always great catching up with you. Good luck in the poker game. Enjoy your beverage tonight. Stay healthy. Enjoy the rest of spring training, and the regular season will be here before you know it, brother.
Thank you very much for letting me jump on this one real quick. For all my people in Venezuela, they know what I'm all about, and hopefully Team Venezuela can go to the distance. I'll be here ready if they need me. And like I said, this is a hard one for me, but I'm happy that I could have talked to them around this outlet.
Everybody always appreciates your honesty. That's why they love you out there.
Thank you.
For our amazingly talented producer, the one and only Robbie Scirocco, and Dodgers starting shortstop Miguel Rojas, I am Chris Rose. We'll see you next time on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.